Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today I'd like to answer a question. Why should we be concerned with what happened in Nigeria? Why is the massacre that took place at the house of Sheikh Zaki Zaki important for all of us? For Shia Muslims, for Sunni Muslims, for the oppressed around the world. Why is it so important? Let's remind ourselves of some of what we do know about Islam. One of the things that we know is this. It's a very well-known hadith. This one that I'm recording is from Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. He says, "Man lam yahtam bi umur al-muslimin falaysa bi muslim." The person who does not concern himself with the affairs of the believers, the affairs of the Muslims, is not a Muslim. So it is a religious obligation for us to be concerned. And we also know that as Muslims, we are supposed to be against oppression, wherever it is. Wherever on the globe there's oppression, the believers are supposed to react to that and to respond to that in a way which is appropriate. Why is it that this issue is so important for all of us, for the global movement that's preparing the world for the coming of the 12th Imam, for the oppressed of the world, the mustad'afin, even for our Sunni brothers and sisters around the globe? Why is this so important? Nigeria is sometimes known as the giant of Africa. Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa. 1 in 4 Africans is a Nigerian. Half of the population, roughly, is 14 years or younger, so a huge population. It is the regional power, one could say, in Africa. It has the 20th largest economy in the world. It has a highly developed telecommunication system. It has the largest stock exchange in Africa, a powerful military, a developed financial structure, underexploited mineral resources. Nigeria makes cars. They are the second highest producer of movies in the world. They provide free education to their people. They are well known in sports, in soccer in particular. The first language of this country is English as a result of the British colonialization. Like many African countries, it's very wealthy when it comes to natural resources, cocoa, and rubber amongst the things that it exports. But of course, there's many food products that it produces. It's very strong in agriculture. Another thing that's very interesting about Nigeria is that half of the population roughly is Muslim, Sunni Muslims, and the other half are Christian. So we're talking about a nation that the vast majority, the most populous nation in Africa, the vast majority are people who believe in God, whether they're Muslim or they're Christian, but they believe in God. Now, Nigeria also has its fair share of problems. Like many African countries, the government is corrupt. What we see in many African countries and countries that are in what they call the third world or developing countries, that many times the leadership of that country is not loyal to its people. Rather, they're loyal to the interests that brought them into power. They look out for their own. They make sure that their children, their family, their people, they're able to go outside overseas and study. They many times will rob the country blind. Nigeria is not very different in this way. If we look in the past, Nigeria has been ruled by the military. The military has come into power, and there's been coup after coup after coup until finally some people came in and they were able to apparently establish a democratic government, but many of those people, if we look at their records, they're actually part of the military themselves, or very wealthy individuals, and there's no way that a military that was used to ruling would simply step aside and have nothing to do with the political climate, with the political control of the country after it had it completely under its control. Unless there were deals in place that benefited the military, there would be none of this happening. So Nigeria is strife with corruption, mismanagement also, people robbing the country blind. For example, although Nigeria is strong agriculturally, Nigeria now needs food imports to sustain itself. After petrodollars, the main source of foreign currency for Nigeria is the money that Nigerians who are living abroad send back to the country. So you have 17 million Nigerians roughly living abroad, sending money back. Many of the Nigerians are well educated, and Nigeria suffers from a brain drain, that their experts go to seek a better life elsewhere. So this country, although it has this great potential, although it is powerful in Africa, although it has a powerful military, because of corruption and mismanagement, then Nigeria suffers its fair share of problems. Nigeria also has a long-standing relationship with Israel that goes back to 1960. And of course, with the U.S. government, it has a very close relationship. In 2012, 20% of U.S. oil came from Nigeria. That's one-fifth of the oil that the U.S. would input would come from Nigeria. The U.S. is the largest foreign investor in Nigeria. Nigeria is the 50th largest export market for the U.S. So the U.S. obviously is very concerned with what happens in Nigeria. What is the relationship like between those who come into power and the U.S. government? That's something that is now quite easy to see. There's no way that the U.S. government would remain indifferent to those who come into power in a corrupt but wealthy country like Nigeria. Those who come into power, those who remove from power, under what circumstances are they removed? Who wins the election? There's no way that the U.S. government would be indifferent to what happens in Nigeria. So now that we know a little bit about what Nigeria is about, what about the Islamic movement, the movement that was led by Sheikh Zakzaki? That movement was one that was not Shia or Sunni, meaning that it was not sectarian. It was a Shia movement. The followers are followers of the Ahlul Bayt, lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, but it was not in any way a sectarian movement. Anyone who tries to hijack what happened to Sheikh Zakzaki and say that this was a Shia-Sunni issue or that this is only a Shia issue has misunderstood or is deliberately doing this. This is not an issue that should be a cause for sectarianism. Actually, even when it comes to Islam and outside of Islam, everyone should be, all of the oppressed of the world should be very sensitive about this issue, and they should be wishing, praying for the health of Sheikh Zakzaki if he hasn't been martyred. And I'll explain why. So Sheikh Zakzaki is someone who converted from being Sunni to Shia. When he converted, many of his followers also converted. But the good that would come out of the Islamic movement is not something that was limited to Shias. It's not something that was limited to Muslims. It's not even something that was limited to Christians. This is for humanity. And maybe some of you have seen the videos or the video of one of the sons of Sheikh Zakzaki before he was martyred, where he explains that this is for humanity. So let me explain a little bit of what that means. In Nigeria, sometimes there would be general strikes. The hospitals would shut down. One of the teams, one of the institutions that was operating under the direction of Sheikh Zakzaki is what they call ISMA. So we're talking about a medical institution that would provide relief for hospitals in case of emergency. They would cover a hospital and provide services to everyone, every Nigerian, for free. It was to the state that sometimes hospital officials would contact Sheikh Zakzaki, we need your people. The doctors would go. Not only would the doctors go, but also what is referred to the group of volunteers that are referred to as Hurath al-Haraka, they would also be there to assist and provide the manpower and the labor that was necessary to do this. In addition to that, what else would they offer? This is just some examples of what would the services that would be offered. In addition to that, they also have a muassasa or an institution called Az-Zahra. So for those of you who've been to the Islamic Republic, you've seen that there are boxes where people collect charity, sadaqah, and they provide that to people who are underprivileged. They had the same institution in Nigeria, which would provide help to the poor, the needy, and the oppressed. If you remember, if you've read the reports, you'll see that when Sheikh Zakzaki's, because this is not the first time that the military has wanted to take action against Sheikh Zakzaki, nor is it the first time that they've taken action and martyred members of his family even. So you would see Salafis who are not extremist Salafis. You would see others coming and giving their condolences to Sheikh Zakzaki. For example, one of the Christian leaders, is the representative of the Islamic movement among the Christians. The Islamic movement, the services that they're provided, if there's need for cooperation or coordination with what's happening with the Christian population, he is the official representative of the Islamic movement, and he's a Christian. So we're talking about a movement that was for the oppressed, for humanity, not Shia or Sunni in that way, right? Now, of course, who would have a problem with love of Ahlul Bayt? I mean, who would have, any Muslim or oppressed person would have love, because remember, the Nigerian population believes in God. So they believe in God, a prophet of God, Prophet Muhammad, the last of the prophets. We are now remembering his relatives, for instance, for the day of Ashura, or we're remembering our Sunni brothers and their struggle. Majority of the Muslims in Palestine are Sunni. So Sheikh Zakzaki was somebody who would speak out against government corruption, speak out against corruption of the military, expose some of the realities of Boko Haram, against Israel, following the leadership in the Islamic Republic, following the leader himself, close relationship with the leader. And offering services to humanity. Again, these are lessons that everybody can be learning from as the Islamic movement continues across the world. The idea of offering services to humanity, of teaching and educating people about Islam through the khair and the benefit that we give to humanity. Not being sectarian, being people who embrace, as the Quran says, that ruhama baynahum, that we're merciful amongst the believers. We have other verses of the Quran that where Allah says that He loves those who are muqsitin, those people who are just, and we're encouraged with our neighbors and our friends, people who are not even in the, not Muslims themselves, to be just to them, to do good for them. This is from the Quran, teachings from the Quran, Surah Mumtahina. So a movement which was like this, that could call up millions of people, peaceful, serving humanity, in a place that could affect the rest of Africa, produces the second most number of movies in the world. This kind of a movement, which is peaceful, speaking out against oppression, against the tyrants of the time, recognizes the dangers of Israel, recognizes the connection between the US government and the military and exploitation, which is happening all over Africa, but somebody speaking out against this. Then also remember that the brothers who are here in Qom, many of them are either part of the Islamic movement or they used to be part of the Islamic movement. The majority of the brothers, one can say confidently, the brothers who are here from Nigeria were either still now are part of the Islamic movement or for various reasons they were part of the Islamic movement, then they left the Islamic movement. But we're talking about maybe close to 100 or more than 100 brothers and sisters who are here studying in the Islamic Republic, learning the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, going to be spreading these teachings later. So with that kind of potential in a place like Africa, and in a place in particular like Nigeria, where people believe in God, they've seen in practice the good that Islam has to offer to them, it's natural that the government, a government which has ties with Israel and America, would feel a sense of danger from this individual and try their best to attack this individual. Now, there are unfounded stories that they were stopping a military blockade. No, none of that is correct. They ransacked the Husseiniyah, and then after that they went to the house of Sheikh Zakzaki, and the people tried to form human shields, standing there without weapons, maybe throwing rocks, versus a military that had pre-planned the attack. Shot and killed, and remember Sheikh Zakzaki is somebody who is so committed to the cause. He's lost his children in this way. He's been imprisoned several times. He's shot in the head, body, him, his wife, his children. And now this kind of an individual, it's natural that the government would come over and then come to make up excuses. We know how it works. So this is something for all of us to take very seriously, to see what is our Islamic responsibility if we're Muslims or if we're part of the oppressed and we know the good that Islam is trying to do, how it's trying to liberate the oppressed of the world, then this is something we need to be very serious about. We need to spread the word. We need to do our Islamic or humanitarian responsibility in this regard. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.